on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, it's been confirmed that a total of 16 asylum seekers are arriving in Donegal today and are to be housed in Port Salin. Gardaí are keen to hear from anyone who may have dashcam footage of a serious weekend crash at Birch. There are calls for the government to urgently step in and address the shortage of home help supports in Donegal. And the Midlands Northwest MEP says the nominee for President of the EU Commission talks about climate change and the environment but shows no inclination to do something about it. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with PJ Lynch. But first to news, as 16 asylum seekers arrive in Donegal today, concern has been raised over the secrecy surrounding their arrival. The asylum seekers are to be housed in emergency accommodation in Port Salin on a temporary basis for 6 months. Confirmation comes today following weeks of speculation. Local councillor Liam Blaney says some of the finer details are still unknown.
It's a secrecy of the whole thing that seems to annoy people locally, that it's very hard to get any information on it. I've been looking for 10 days to get information on it, and it's very, very difficult. But I finally got confirmation there on Friday evening, and the local people feel let down by the powers that be, that 16 people coming to a remote area like Port Salin, nearly doubles the population. That's going to be about Port Salin in the winter time. They thought that there'd be more information would be forthcoming, that there would be better services possibly provided for them as well and the area, because anybody knows Port Salin, knows surely in the goodwill in the summertime. It's a very nice place to be with a lovely beach, and there's a shop and a pub and a restaurant there. And after that, the service for these people is coming from other countries. I think they deserve better and they should be getting better.
They are there on a temporary basis, though. However, are you maybe concerned that might be longer than is initially promised?
Well, it's supposed to be emergency accommodation, and I believe that the property is leased for 6 months to start off with. But knowing the way that this government does things, I'm quite sure that'll just be the beginning, and that possibly will be a rollover. The secrecy is very hard to get any information on, but that's the information I have on it so far. And saying that, at the same time, if it's going to be temporary, just until their application is processed, well, they're going to be moving out, and there's going to be new ones coming in all the time. So it's going to be very hard to integrate them into the local area.
And these people will struggle as it is to integrate into the local area. And with, as you say, like a distinct lack of services, it will make that all the more difficult.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what to do. But I do think that the priority should be, and then come week, is ensure that the services that's required are provided immediately once they do land.
Today's sitting of the Inishowen Municipal District was adjourned for half an hour earlier as a mark of respect for the late Councillor Manus Kelly. The 41-year-old father of five was killed while participating in the Jill Donegal International Rally last month. He was elected to Donegal County Council for the first time in the Letterkenny electoral area in May. There are calls for the government to urgently step in and address the shortage of home help supports in Donegal. In one case, it's believed a man has remained in hospital since January and cannot return to his home due to the lack of home help services available. Councillor Micheál Colmagill-Osbeck says with over 200 people on the waiting list in the county, the underfunding of the sector cannot be allowed to continue.
But the failure of the Fine Gael-led government to adequately fund the home help service here in Donegal, it means that there's roughly about 200-odd individuals waiting for home help support. 2019, and there are people that I know that I'm working with, and for one incident is that there's an individual who's been in hospital for a number of months, and due to the fact that there ain't enough money to fund the home help service adequately in terms of the need that's there, this individual is still in hospital. Basically, the Fine Gael-led government is keeping this man in prison because due to their failure to fund the service. And on a regular basis, speaking to the family and trying to support them, it's extremely frustrating for them, concerning and worrying and very stressful. And what I'm saying is it's time that the government funded the home help service in Donegal instead of what I believe is a deliberate move towards the private sector. There's private companies out there who are providing a service, and I think that the end game here by the government, due to their ideology policy of capitalism, is to get the private companies to fill that need.
The government plans to set up 6 new regional health boards to take over most of the management of the HSE. It's a return to the model used before the Health Service Executive was founded in 2005. It intends to give more control to doctors and managers at a local level to make decisions. Steve McMahon from the Irish Patients Association has some concerns about it.
At the end of the day, we welcome the fact that it's a step forward. It's looking down the future pipeline. What we have to do is deal with today's crises for hundreds of thousands of patients who are on some waiting list or another, sitting there probably in pain and great anxiety. And then we have the sort of communications debacle that we experienced in the last week with the cervical screening communications.
A woman remains in a serious condition in hospital following a crash at Birch at the weekend. The single vehicle collision involving a motorcycle happened at approximately 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. A 27-year-old female pillion passenger and a 33-year-old male driver were both taken to Letterkenny University Hospital. The woman was later transferred to Beaumont Hospital, where she remains in a serious condition at this time, while the man has since been released after receiving treatment to non-life-threatening injuries. Speaking earlier on today's 9 till noon show, Inspector Sean Grant says Gardaí are keen to hear from anyone who may have dashcam footage of the crash.
We're investigating a single vehicle motorcycle accident that occurred at about 3:30 p.m. on Saturday, that's last Saturday past, the 13th of July. Occurred at Moness Burt. We have examined the scene. We have a family liaison officer attached to the investigation. My appeal at the minute would be for any motorists who might have been travelling the area at the time, maybe perhaps anyone who has dashcam footage and anyone we haven't spoken with at this stage, to come forward and maybe make contact with us at Buncrana Garda Station, 07493 20547, and again the Garda confidential line on 1800 666 111. At this stage, the female pillion passenger is in a serious condition in Beaumont Hospital. The driver of the motorcycle himself, he has been released from hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, but it's obviously at this stage of the investigation, we'd be anxious to canvass and speak to anybody that maybe at this stage we haven't had the opportunity to.
Donegal County Council must ensure that the forthcoming economic strategy being produced by the North West Regional Assembly must include a significant input from Inishowen. That's according to Councillor Albert Doherty, who told an Inishowen Municipal District meeting today that issues such as the failure to proceed with an expansion at the Greencastle Fishing College must be addressed in the document. He also stressed the importance of Derry, saying whatever happens with Brexit, the city is vital for the development of the whole region.
The Chief Executive now is going to comment on the 22nd at her plenary, and I want to get across today the critical importance of Derry in this northwest city area that Donegal County Council have been promoting with Derry City Council in Strabane. Derry has a critical role, Derry and its university status even more so, and the medical schools and the medical provisions for the northwest city region, we need to be seen to be supporting, to pushing and getting this message through to government in Dublin.
You've also made the point that you want a very firm Inishowen footprint on that document, and specifically you referenced Greencastle and the Fisheries College there and what we discovered in the past number of weeks about a planned expansion.
Firstly, I noticed that in 2018 in September we had a recommendation that would go forward seeking funding for the return of works to the Greencastle breakwater. We have the continued financial input to the Greencastle area by the Greencastle Fishery Co-op. We had a critical scare over the fishing capacity of the Greencastle fleet over the summer there with Rockall. But big of all, most of all for ourselves, a planned delivery of services and of investment into the Greencastle Fishery Training College seems to have gone into abeyance. That's not good enough coming with Brexit. We need to ensure that what was planned, what was given planning permission for, what was offered by government going back, that's delivered and we get our up-top services at the Greencastle Fishery College.
A rapid review into the latest cervical check controversy is due to be completed by August the 2nd. It was set up after it emerged around 800 women did not receive their test results following a technical glitch at a US lab. Eamon Torsney reports.
HSE CEO Paul Reid commissioned the rapid review of the cervical screening programme, where HPV test results were not issued or were delayed for some women and their GPs. It'll examine all aspects of the controversy with a particular focus on how these issues were communicated to the women using the service. President of Dublin City University, Brian McCraw, has been appointed as independent external chairperson for this review. Another area that will be examined will be the appropriateness of the escalation and if, how and when the communication of the incident within the HSE and between the HSE and the Department of Health and the relevant cervical check committee structures was managed. The period of the review will be from the time the IT issue first emerged up to and including the public reporting of these issues on the 11th of July.
A Midlands Northwest MEP says the nominee for President of the EU Commission talks about climate change and the environment, but shows no inclination to do something about it. Speaking after he and his colleagues in the European Parliament met with Ursula von der Leyen last week, Luke Ming-Flanagan says she spoke of the need to tackle climate change, but still defended the Mercosur deal, which he has described as a potential environmental catastrophe. He says she completely sidestepped his questions on the issue.
I asked her about her consistency on policy when it came to climate change, if she really wanted to do something about it, why then were the European Commission racing ahead with signing a Mercosur deal with the South American countries, which will mean that they will have to cut down rainforests to produce beef to export to Europe, where we already produce beef in the most sustainable way possible. Unfortunately, the only answer that I got from her was that people need to work together and that Europe is better off working together. So it was the equivalent of me asking her what was her opinion on the result of the Roscommon Tyrone game and her coming back with an answer about her opinions on crochet. And if she was really serious about climate change, she would have taken up that question. But I don't think the European Union, after provisionally signing this deal, gives a damn about climate change. Loves to talk about it, but not to do anything about it.
You've used the word hypocrisy in terms of what she had to say. Strong words?
Yeah, it is hypocrisy. Either we're going to do something about this, or we're not going to do something about it. All we hear about is more carbon taxes to help us change our behaviour, when in fact, one of the things that should be done is encouragement to keep us having the same behaviour, which is producing beef in a sustainable way, rather than importing it from halfway across the world in return for sending even more climate-unfriendly machines in the other direction.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with a great selection of adults and children's Donegal GEA jerseys. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with golf, and 2011 winner Darren Clarke will have the honour of hitting the first shot of the Open Championship at Portrush this week. Oisín Kelly has the details of the tee times as the Open returns to the Antrim course for the first time in 68 years.
Clark will be up in the first group of the week alongside Irish amateur James Sugrue and American Charlie Hoffman at 6:35. All six Irish players will be out early on day one. 2007 winner Patrick Harrington has a 7:30 a.m. start. Joining him on the course will be England's Matt Fitzpatrick and American Andrew Putnam. Shane Lowry will have five-time major winner Phil Mickelson and South Africa's Brandon Grace for company when he takes to the first tee just before 8 a.m. Local boy Graham McDowell has been drawn alongside 2018 runner-up Xander Schauffele and former winner Henrik Stenson. Rory McIlroy will be the last of the Irish to tee off on the opening day, going out with US Open winner from this year Gary Woodland and Paul Casey just before 10 a.m. Among the other first round tee times, defending champion Francesco Molinari will play with Bryson DeChambeau and Adam Scott at 9:58. Masters winner Tiger Woods is one of the late starters, getting underway at 3:10 in the company of Matt Wallace and Patrick Reed. And the other major winner from this year is Brooks Koepka. The back-to-back PGA Championship winner is out at 1:04.
Oisín Kelly there. We'll go to Gaelic Games now, and Kerry and Donegal share top spot in Group 2 of the Super 8s after their respective wins yesterday. Kerry are just ahead thanks to their 10-point win over Mayo, while Donegal beat Meath by 9 points after a final quarter burst. The Ulster and Munster provincial winners clash in the second round on Sunday at Croke Park. Martin McHugh says, "We saw the real Kerry on Sunday in Killarney."
You have to look at the Kerry performances, particularly against Dublin when they played them down in Kerry, and the Tyrone performance in Kerry in the league. They were very unprecedented, and I think
he kept a lot in reserve. He didn't want to show his hand after that. And I thought yesterday was we saw the real Kerry. I think Aussie and very, very impressive. And hopefully that's their big game, that they've played their big game. And hopefully next weekend that they'll not be as good.
How can Donegal go about troubling Kerry then in Croke Park?
Well, they're, you know, Kerry are difficult enough to trouble with the best of times. But I think, you know, Donegal have got definitely more pace than Mayo have, which is a big thing in the modern game, because Kerry are very, very pacey. And midfield will be a very important area. And, you know, that's where games, you know, will be, I think, be won and lost. And I just think that midfield is going to be very, very important for
Aidan O'Shea didn't get his way in midfield yesterday with Kerry, Martin.
No, but, you know, it's a wee bit different, though, Aussie, playing in Croke Park than maybe, in a tighter pitch or whatever, a tighter area maybe than down in Kerry, you know. And this last while, David Moran has maybe struggled a bit in Croke Park, so Donegal will have to, you know, use their pace to get at it. But definitely David Moran was a winner in the midfield battle yesterday, well, no doubt about that. He had a big performance. And then if they won midfield, with Clifford and Geaney particularly going very, very well in the full forward line. You know, the most big question being asked all week is who's Donegal going to put on David Clifford to mark him, because he probably is at the minute the top and sharpest forward in the country, and the big advantage he has that he's very physically very strong too as well.
And you can hear more from Martin McHugh in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Moving to soccer, and the Republic of Ireland are playing Norway in their opening game at the European Championships today in Armenia. That's the under-19s. They kicked off at 3:45, and it's currently Ireland 0, Norway 1, the only goal of the game coming in the 8th minute. Former Finn Harps player Tom Mohan is manager of the Irish side, while Milford man Mickey McGlynn is the physio. There's one game in the SSE Airtricity League Premier Division tonight, and it's a tie that Finn Harps will be watching closely. UCD host third place Bohemians at Belfield at 7:45. UCD moved ahead of Harps on goal difference at the weekend and still have two games in hand on the Ballybuffet boys. Steve Bruce has moved a step closer to becoming the new manager at Newcastle United. He's resigned his position at Sheffield Wednesday, where he's only been in charge since the start of February. It's believed it's cost Newcastle £4 million to pry him away from Hillsborough. Mason Mount has signed a new 5-year deal at Chelsea. The 20-year-old midfielder spent last season on loan at Derby under new Chelsea manager Frank Lampard. Mount scored Chelsea's first in a 4-0 friendly win over St Pat's at Richmond Park on Saturday. In badminton, Chloe and Sam McGee won silver at the weekend's White Knight Championships in Arusha. They reached the final with two wins on Saturday, beating English and Indian pairs in straight sets. Chloe and Sam, who were the winners of the tournament in 2015, lost out to the number one seeds and defending champions from Russia. Having lost the first set 21-16, the Rafal partnership won the second 21-13, but the Russians responded in the third 21-16 to take the title. And finally, in cycling, Wout van Aert claimed today's 10th stage of the Tour de France. The Belgian got the better of the sprint finish into the southern town of Albi, beating Elia Viviani and Caleb Ewan. Julian Alaphilippe retains the leader's yellow jersey with a 1 minute 12 second lead over defending champion Geraint Thomas. Dan Martin is ninth on general classification overall. That's all your sports news this evening here on Highland Radio. Our next sports update is after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning, but for now it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ. And returning to some news, urgent clarity is being sought from the HSE after residents in South Inishowen were left without a local doctor for over 4 weeks. It's understood that Fawn and Moth have been affected, with the HSE redistributing staff on a temporary basis, resulting in people having to travel to Buncrana to the next available facility. It's also thought locally that the situation is likely to continue for some weeks. Inishowen Councillor Martin Farren described the revelations as outrageous and is demanding that the HSC remedy the issue without delay.
There's a clinic in Moss, and that clinic is there where a doctor should be appearing on a regular basis to deal with patients in that area. So what's needed now at this moment in time is clear clarification given by the HSC and letting people know precisely what's happening. My understanding is that it has been closed for a month, and they're talking about the possibility of it could be another month before a doctor appears. That's just not good enough. I mean, you take into consideration
people with young families, elderly people, for example, who have to see a doctor, to have to travel to Buncrana, you're talking about a 20-25 mile round trip. And if you have to get a taxi, that's quite a considerable amount of money. So I think it's just totally unacceptable. And I think the PSC really need to statement on this in relation to this matter and let people know precisely where they stand here, because this just can't keep going on. And not having a service there for the people of Muff, and my understanding the same thing is happening up in Fon as well, and this day and age this is just totally unacceptable.
Obviously this is a HSE decision. They must be aware of the inconvenience that it is causing residents having to travel that long distance to get a doctor.
Well, this is a very good question. This actually raised its head a few years ago as well. I remember, I think it was my first term in the council, and we had a meeting up in the community centre up in Muff in relation to this matter, and it was resolved at that particular time, and things seemed to be working quite well. But now here we go again. The HSE are allowing this to happen again. Obviously they're aware this is happening.
Tourism Ireland admits it will struggle to find growth in visitor numbers from Britain and mainland Europe for the second half of the year. Its mid-year report found a drop of over 4% in both markets for the month of May. It means that for Britain, it's only up by 0.8% in the first 5 months of the year. Tourism Ireland CEO Niall Gibbons says the figures are concerning.
I think though we'll struggle to find growth from Great Britain and mainland European markets in the second half of the year, particularly with the Brexit uncertainty. I think if Britain holds its own, I think we'll have done really, really well. Because, I mean, even within British travel out to mainland Europe, they're struggling as well. I think with regard to mainland Europe, the biggest concern now is this is the first time we'll have seen a drop in the air access supply from Germany into Ireland.
There were 9 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, 4 of them on emergency department trolleys. Nationally, the INMO says there were 413 admitted patients awaiting beds at hospitals across the country this morning, the largest number 60 at University Hospital Limerick. And more than 490,000 Irish passports have been issued so far this year. Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs Simon Coveney says the demand for Irish passports has grown significantly in recent years. Last year, more than 822,000 passports were issued, up from 780,000 in 2017. Taoiseach Simon Coveney says there's been a significant rise in passport applications from people in Northern Ireland and Britain since the UK voted to leave the EU. For weather now, staying mostly dry for the rest of the day with some bright or sunny spells and just the odd isolated shower. It will be mostly cloudy tonight with some scattered outbreaks of light rain or drizzle developing, with lowest temperatures of 11 to 14 degrees and light southerly winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, 16 asylum seekers arrive in Donegal today. Concern has been raised over the secrecy surrounding their arrival. The asylum seekers are to be housed in emergency accommodation in Port Sullen on a temporary basis for 6 months. There are calls for the government to urgently step in and address the shortage of home help supports in Donegal. In one case, it's believed a man has remained in hospital since January and cannot return to his home due to the lack of home help services available. A woman remains in a serious condition in hospital following a crash at Birch at the weekend. The single vehicle collision involving a motorcycle happened at approximately 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. And Donegal County Council must ensure that the forthcoming economic strategy being produced by the North West Regional Assembly must include a significant input from Inishowen. That's according to Councillor Albert Doherty, who told an Inishowen Municipal District meeting today that issues such as the failure to proceed with an expansion at the Greencastle Fishing College must be addressed in the document. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, July the 15th. The death has taken place of Agnes McDermott, Swilly View, Inch Island. Her remains will be reposing at her home from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Funeral on Thursday morning, leaving her home at 10:15, going to Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Inch Island, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Connie, Ned McBride, Mahara Clohar, Bombeg, Donegal. It remains our opposing at Gidor Funeral Home today until rosary at 9 o'clock and tomorrow from 3 o'clock until rosary at 7 o'clock. Removal to his late residence afterwards to repose overnight. House private for family only. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Chapel, Derrybeg on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in Mahara Gallan Cemetery. The death has occurred of Maura O'Donnell, Belcrotch, Kincashla. Her remains will be reposing at McLean's funeral home this evening from 6 o'clock with rosary at 9 o'clock. Viewing tomorrow from 12 noon with removal at 6:30, going to St Mary's Church, Kincashla for 7 o'clock where she will repose overnight. Funeral mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in Belcrotch Cemetery. The death has taken place of Mary Rose McHugh, the Hanging Stone Bia Ardra. Her remains will be reposing at Chauvelin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, this evening from 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock, with rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Holy Family Ardra for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Kilclooney Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Killybegs Community Hospital, care of Seamus Chauvelin and Sons Funeral Directors. And the death has occurred in Leeds, West Yorkshire, of Theresa May Garvey, named McGranahan, formerly of Kinnicalli, St Johnston. Her remains are reposing at Hughes Funeral Services, York Road, Leeds. Requiem Mass on Wednesday, July the 24th at 10:30 in the Holy Rosary Church, Leeds.